You might like to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 5 as we open our 7 o'clock service. Genesis chapter 5. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we again rightly pause to remember your word and your wonderful work to outwork that word. God, thank you. So deal with our heads and our hearts, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the title, waiting, being transferred, to be transferred means to move from one place to another. Being transferred, even a translation. And a translation has to do, English word, to convey to heaven. Translation, to convey to heaven. And, originally, to convey to heaven without dying. The word translate. To convey to heaven without dying is the word. Now, let's see how it works out. In Genesis chapter 5, you would recall Enoch. And in verse 22, verse 21 to start up there. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Why not? For God took him. He never died physically. God took him. Just took him. Now, keeping that in mind, God took him. Now, so when you come over, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and picking up, if I can, in verse 5, Hebrews 11, 5. And Enoch was translated, giving a list of people that trusted God for the encouragement of the heart. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had that testimony before God translated him. Now, that's an English word, English, the Greek word, going back, the Greek word, to be translated from one place to another. But when, going back to 1382, Wycliffe translating into English, by faith, I'm reading, if you looked at it as it is done in Old English, you have to understand faith and everything, a different spelling. By faith, Enoch is translated that he should not see death, and he was not founded, for the Lord translated him. And that, in your use of the word translation, way back in the English language, from the Greek, translation. God, the word translation, to be conveyed to heaven without dying. Without death, to go to heaven without dying. Enoch went to heaven without dying. Wow. That's our word. To be transferred and to be translated. That's us. That's where we are. Now, in the light of that, Enoch, when he was translated, taken to heaven, things got worse. They didn't get better. They came in the days of Noah, they got worse. They didn't get better. Noah came along in the days when they were worse, and Noah walked with God, and God saved Noah by way of the ark and took everyone that was unsaved. In the very reverse, Enoch was taken and the rest were left. In Noah's day, as it were, Noah is survived with his family and everyone else is taken. And then it got worse. It got worse. After the flood, it got worse again. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, then you want to have in your thinking that wrath, God's wrath, anger with humanity, in humanity's indifference to God, in his wrath. Wrath is held until the righteous are removed. Wrath is held back until God takes care of the righteous, the believers. Now, so in the illustration, in Sodom and Gomorrah, God took Noah. Noah was a righteous man, and God took him, and everyone else was not going to believe. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were unrighteous. But before God leveled on that bright sunny day, as it were, before God removed Sodom and Gomorrah and all around there, before God did that, he removed Lot. He took Lot out of there. And just to remind you, over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter and chapter 2. And you will pick up God's commentary, so you don't have to guess about Lot. Otherwise, you would never guess. If God didn't tell you, you'd never know. 2 Peter chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In other words, the rest of the history should pay attention, Sodom and Gomorrah, to pay attention. Verse 7, and he delivered just a righteous Lot, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He had to live in the lousy world of Sodom and Gomorrah, the environment, but he did live in it. He did live in it. He never was a testimony for light. He absorbed and lived in the darkness, trying to hide out, so we didn't have to face the obvious trouble. If he opposed Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot would have been in trouble, but he didn't oppose it. Neither did his family. And in verse 8, and for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed, tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to preserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, God, here we are looking, and you take the righteous out before the wrath is executed. Now, over to Luke chapter 21. Luke and chapter 21. And picking up, if I may, in verse 20. Luke 21:20. Speaking like Matthew 24 and 25, here it is in Luke. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And moving into Titus, Rome, and Rome, 70 AD, and Jerusalem is down, and the Jews are scattered, keep moving into the tribulation. Terrible, difficult times are ahead for the wrath, a day of wrath. That's right. What are we living in? A day of grace. Grace precedes wrath. God's right caring is manifest before his anger is expressed. And thus, verse 25, and there shall be signs of this in the sun and in the moon, in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, a great anguish, Perplexity, they don't know whether they're coming or going. They don't know the answers. They won't know what to do. And great perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring great, the heart of the unsaved is like a troubled sea. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory at his second coming. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So in all of these things, if you were living in the tribulation and looking into all of that, you understand that soon the Lord is coming. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. So here is coming up Israel, Jerusalem, tribulation, wrath, and looking in the second coming of Christ, which will be the end of the tribulation, to judge. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, Looking, they're going to be, it's coming. Now, not that coming so much. It's possible, because the Old Testament is full of his second coming. But in the day of the New Testament, the Jews weren't particularly doctrinally with it. They weren't out giving the wonderful truth of the Messiah coming. They didn't do that. And the world was full of great activity. The known world, the Roman world, was full of activity. Wow. Now, what was the activity about? And how did they react to it? 2 Peter chapter 3, picking up, if I may, in verse 1, the second epistle. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. They don't believe. They're going to mock. They're going to make fun. This isn't going to happen. Now, verse 4, and what were they saying? Where is the promise of his coming? It's a little adverb, interrogative. A direct question is being asked, implying a negative answer. Thus to say, this thing, where is this person that's coming? It does not, it is not, he's not here, he does not exist, he is not coming, it isn't going to happen, it won't happen, will it? It'll never happen, his coming. Now, never happen, his coming. Hang on to that. Now, I want you to look at another sequence. You know it, but I'm going to do it, so you have to use your Bible. I just want, if you knew nothing else, and you were truly a sincere person, and you knew there was a book that had an answer, and had the answer, and if you were that kind of person, not everyone is, you would roll up your sleeves and find that book, and you would sit down, no matter what the day or the time or the hours, and I would turn the pages to find out the answer. Where? It is never going to happen. A promise of His coming. Now, what was happening in their world that they would say this? What irritated them so much? Watch. Go with me, please, over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Picking up, please. Oh, going to verse 9. Remember, the day of Pentecost hasn't happened yet. The birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2. Interesting. Remember, there is the day of the birth of the Lord Jesus, of the church, His body. There is no day of the church's death. No day of His death. The church never dies like Enoch. The church is taken up. It never dies. It's alive and well, more or less, on planet Earth. And God takes it up with no death. No death. Now, hang on. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen Him go to heaven, into heaven. He's coming. He went up. And you guys are looking up. Don't get discouraged. Keep looking. He's coming back. The same way He goes up, He's coming back. Wow. Now, in the light of that, what kind of encouragement is there in the meanwhile while we're waiting? Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And picking up, please, in thought. Picking up in chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, physical body, we are absent from the Lord. Flesh and blood cannot what? Cannot inherit. You can't take this body up. It doesn't belong. It belongs back in the dust of the ground where it came from. It doesn't belong in heaven. Back to dust. Now, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So here we are in this physical body. We're looking up, waiting, and we're here, but we're here until we're there, and we are at home up there, but we're at home in the body, and until the Lord translates us, to move us from here to there, to translate us without death. Until that happens, we have to wait. But be of good cheer. We're looking to God, and God said, and it's all going to work out in a most wonderful way. Now, over in your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews on chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. And all we're doing now, remember, we're looking, because I'm interested in getting an answer from that sacred book, that God would help me understand this wonderment, that where is the promise of his coming? Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing? Or is the world right? Or is the world wrong? Hebrews chapter 12. God, in the light of the heroes of Enoch and all of them, chapter 11, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And now here we are on planet Earth, absent from the body, absent from heaven. God's at home in us until we're at home in him. Here we are, on planet Earth, and we have an assignment to travel down the corridor of time and run the race. We have a wonderful objective to travel down the road and win. The world doesn't believe. You do. And you're running for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're running for the prize. Wow. Now, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God, what are we doing? How did the Lord do it? He looked to the Lord, he looked to God, and ran the race. What are we going to do? The same thing. And what's the end? Tribulation? That's where we're headed. So you can't say, if we just run, it's going to get nicer and nicer and nicer. No, the world we live in is going to get more difficult and more difficult. So when we're running, we aren't running into a super-duper, the island of paradise somewhere. We're running into tribulation. We're running there. And how are we going to do it? We're going to count it all joy that we can run. He counted it joy when he looked at the cross. That's where he ran to. He ran to the cross on our behalf. And because he ran to the cross on our behalf, we're able to run in the light of the cross down here to represent him in the world, but not of it. Now, hang on. Looking unto the Lord Jesus with all our heart, running the race that is set before us, fighting the good fight of faith. Over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, and I'm going to take it somewhat in chronological sequence. So if you were living then, and you were walking down the corridor of time, and here we go in 52 A.D., and we go all the way down to 66 A.D., we're tracking, and we're going to walk along and listen. Because here's the world reacting. Where is the promise of his coming? It really can't be. It isn't going to be. It's a negative answer. He's never coming. Why is it so frustrating to the world? Because the church was alive and well on planet Earth, and they were seriously, wonderfully aware of his coming. And so wherever the church was, in Ephesus, Laodicea, in the beginning it would have been. Wow. They were looking. And so if you were living in the Greek world, the Roman world, boy, those believers are doing what? They're looking up. They're looking up. Hang on. We'll begin. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, And what did you do, Thessalonians? You waited. You were waiting for his son from heaven, or out from the heavens. You were waiting for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He rescued us. We can't go through it. We have to be out of it. And they were waiting. They were waiting, waiting. Just standing there, doing everything they should do, their duties, the demands of life, going to work, homeschool, but they were waiting, waiting, waiting. That mocked them. They're waiting. Waiting for what? For his coming. Over, if you would, to chapter 2. Chapter 2, as you know, verse 19. We'll just read them and let them drive home the point. You couldn't. You there's no way to read without coming up with the answer. You got the answer. Wow. Chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, or our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? When? At his coming. At his coming. At his coming. All right. Chapter 3. You know. Verse 13. 3 and 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Wow. So we keep reading, and coming, he's coming, he's coming, coming. Chapter 4, as you know. Chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep that have died. For you know, for that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep have died, in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, shall not hinder them which are asleep. Everyone's going to have a free, complete, harmonious, excess resurrection. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise up first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Remember, Acts 1, you saw him going up, you're coming back down. Coming, caught up to be in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. So we're going up. We're looking up, going up. That's what we're looking for. And verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to hang in there and run the race. So when he comes, you are fully awake, alert, and ready in the twinkling of an eye until he comes. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You're waiting. That's what you're doing. What are they doing in Thessalonica? They're waiting. They're waiting. And a year later, they're still waiting. That's what they're doing. They haven't quit. That's the instructions. As you see him go up, he's coming back down. He told them to be waiting. I'm coming back down. The next prophetic event, and we're looking at him now. I'm just trying to give you the thing, the next thing to happen is the removal of the church, the translation. The translation, caught up into heaven without dying. That's the next thing. Of all the wonderful prophecies, this is the prophecy. And now, then you're going to look at, well, here's Babylon, here's Europe, here's Russia, here they all are, and we'll look at them. How do they affect? But here we are, and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? It isn't coming. He's never coming. Now, so, in the light of that, over to, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to move along a few years, not much. Going to move along. And we're going along. And if you keep going, and you'd think there'd be a let-up all the way to the Apostle John, the end of the Bible, you keep saying the same thing. So me and you, living in this world, with all that's going on in the world, and they're looking, and they keep hearing it over and over. And Rome persecutes ever so with Nero and all of them. Persecution to kill it. But they couldn't kill it. They couldn't kill it. So all they could do is corrupt it. And thus, the church, post-mill, a-mill, with Augustine and all of them, to get rid of his coming because it's so offensive. And the world applauds. Good. Because we can't answer it. We don't want it to occur, but it will. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if I may, in verse 7. You know, so then, in the context in each time, we won't take time to do that, but 1 Corinthians 1, 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting, you're waiting, enduring, expectation, you're awaiting the gift of waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What were they doing? They were awaiting his coming. That's what they were doing. Corinthians, God is sufficient for you to give you a fullness of all that you need. In the process, you're waiting. We just did the fullness this morning, a little bit, and you're waiting. You're waiting. God isn't going to leave you in the lurch. John 14, he won't abandon you. He's right there. Absent from the body, true, but until I am absent, he's present with me, in me. So looking to God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. And picking up in verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise to God. We're waiting for his coming. You can't have anything. It can't work out. Next thing to happen is his coming. And his coming has to occur. Chapter 11. Chapter 11. Every time we have communion. Chapter 11. And in verse 26, directly, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, you are publicly making a display, you're publicly reminding the world and everyone and yourself, do this in remembrance of me, I'm coming. The Lord's death until he comes. And that's what we do. We're waiting for his coming. We take communion. We're waiting. What are we doing? We're waiting for his coming. Waiting for his coming. Wow. Now, over to chapter 15. Chapter 50. And in verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they, after they that are Christ at his coming. So we're looking, God has a regular order. The resurrection of Christ has to take place, and everything else will follow in order, like a military parade, etc. It'll follow in order. Chapter 15, if I can, verse 51. And verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, something that was never understood. We shall not all sleep. In the days of Enoch, do you think they understood when Enoch disappeared? Never, never. Where's Enoch? He's gone. He's gone. When God takes, hopefully tonight, takes us, the world is going to wonder why you weren't at work, why you weren't at school. Someone's going to wonder where their husband went and their wife went. What happened? Who cares? It's all over. Whatever the pesky Christians had, they're gone. Isn't that the main point? We don't have to have them around. No more Bible verses. We don't have to think about it. You don't think they're going to think like that? Come on. Well, if you owe them money, they might. You know. But hey. No, they aren't. No, they aren't. Yeah, I couldn't do that. Wow. Now. So thus, dear friends, in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, literally changed. We won't die. We're just going to be changed. We're going to go from a physical body of this earth to a resurrected body, just like that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as fast as you could split an atom. That fast. Wow. Wow. So God, here we are looking, God, for your working. 57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Therefore, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be very faithful in God's faithfulness, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be full of encouragement, full of everything. Be thank God for all that he's doing, all that we will do. God, here we are looking. Now, in the light of that, now we're going to move down the corridor of time in that day. And we're going to head to 100 A.D., the turn of the century. And we're going to turn 100 A.D. And John, the last living apostle, is busy writing. He spent a lot of years in Ephesus as their leader. Rome then put him in prison. They exiled him off the coast. Here's Ephesus here. And off the coast, you slide out on the ocean, and there's the island of Patmos. It was the place where prisoners were put to get rid of them from off the earth, to hide them. It would be the prison, I can't think of the prison just as well, out there in the middle of nowhere, and nowhere, no escape, no one cares, no one knows. God put him out there, and out there is where he writes. But what he wrote first was probably from Ephesus before he got out there. Now, here we are, 95, 96, and through there. Hang on to that. Over, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And you are familiar with it, a wonderful bit of news. And in chapter 14, picking up, please, in thought. I'm going to start in verse 1, you know. Let not your heart be troubled. Remember, they were in the upper room. He's going to leave them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why? In my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. By the way, I am going to prepare a place for you. I am going to prepare a place for you. I have a place for you up in that wonderful, awesome foreverness in your holy, happy heaven. You have a place. I have a place for you. Mm-hmm. Now, and since I have a place, I am going And I'm going to and if I go and prepare a place for you, if I prepare it, I told you I have it, and if I go and make the place for you, put your name on it, as it were, it isn't going to be like that, but think of that. You got a spade up there, a spot up there, and I'm going to go up there and put, and if I go up and take the time to leave and mark a place, as it were, for you, I am surely coming again to see that you take that place. Not here, there, looking up. John 14, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where are you? In the right hand of God. Where I am, you what? You may be you, I there, where I am, there you may be also. Whether you go, you know not, and the way. Whether I go and the way, you know. Thomas saith unto them, I don't know the way. Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. You're looking to me. I'm going up, and I'm coming back to get you. That's what I'm doing. In the meantime, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you until I take and come and get you. In my wonderful deity, I'm going to be with you. In my perfect humanity, I'm going to come and you're going to meet me in the air. Wow. I want you to wait. Wait. And here's all the world hearing this from these believers, and they weren't like today. They were living this. They were exercising this. Wow. Do you know what would happen if you had that today? If you had a local assembly that was fully with it. With it. With it. They were looking. And they hope they never have a meal next week. They hope they don't have to go to work. Go to the doctor. They hope he comes. You see. Really? No, I got my things I'm going to do. I got my sports and I got my game and I got this. Ah, you aren't looking for his coming. You aren't looking for it. You just say it. That won't affect anybody. It's when you live it. Ah, that's different. So no matter what you're going through, at any moment, you aren't going to go through it anymore. How's that? You're combing your hair and your hair's all falling out. And in a moment, you're gone. And you don't care if another hair, because you're leaving all your hair. Do you understand that? All your hair remains. You get a brand new. Boy, figure that one out. Wow. Okay, keep going. Here's what he says. He says it. Now, in the light of that, John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, God, will come in, come unto him, and make our abode with him. And verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So, God, here we are paying attention, and we're going to pay attention to you and to your word, and we understand that if you go and prepare a place for us, verse 3, and you're going to come and be with us and abide with us until we abide with you. Remember, you're going to go from abiding. God is going to find his home in your heart, and you're going to find your home in his home. His place, his special place. I am waiting to take you home. And until then, you're in God's time. Our times are in your hands, God. We have a very special time. We're living in a world that has advanced from way back in 100 AD, as it were, way down to the year in which we live. And wow. It isn't Where's your promise of his coming? It isn't there. When I come, will I find the body of truth residing in my people? And it's a rhetorical question. No. No. Not going to happen. Boy, did we lose out again. But we don't want to lose out. Not at all. Not at all. Over to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, God gives us another word by the Apostle John. Verse 1, 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What are we waiting for? But we know that when he shall appear, when we shall see him, we shall be like him, and we shall be changed. We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We shall see him as he is. And God, in a moment, in the splitting of an atom, we're going to change from this body to one just like his. And everything will match harmoniously. Wow. Peter, James, John, Paul, and you will all have the same body at the same time. And you'll see him. And you know how people say, well, you have an angel to escort you. No, you don't. Our Lord Jesus Christ escorts us to his house in the twinkling of an eye. Think of that. He personally takes us. After all, the church is his bride, is his body. Why wouldn't the head possess the body? And it does. Wow. So now, having said that, and he that has this hope, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, looking to God. Wow. Now, to go a bit further, over to Revelation. God, we're looking. We're going to hang in there. God, the world doesn't care. Church doesn't care. We're all just trying to make it through the old system. Revelation chapter 22. Now, John, you're going to write, and that's the end of the Bible. No more Bible, no more words from God till he comes. So here we are looking, God, and in the process, Revelation, chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify, to bear witness unto you that are living, these things in the churches that are there, until I take them in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I'm the one you're looking for to tell you it's the time to go. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride are going to say what? Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, Every man that heareth the words of this of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add upon these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies and bear witnesses of these things saith, surely I come, I am coming quickly. And the church and the believer, having opened the book and looked, where is the promise of his coming? Ah, it is right in front of you. And the church will say, verse 20, Amen. So come. So what kind of believer is it that is not saying, even so come? Looking for that coming now. And the light, in the light of that, over, if you would, over to Timothy. 2 Timothy. Do you get to 2 Timothy? Those that want to. Hold your finger there and go to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, hold your finger there and go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We don't want to leave you out. 1 Corinthians 16. So here we are looking, waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're looking for that, no matter what, no matter who, no matter what, when, where, how. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 22, as you come to the end of the first letter to the church in Corinth. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, accursed. Let a curse fall upon him. Maranatha, Maranatha, our sovereign Lord cometh. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be destructed, destroyed. And by the way, Maranatha, the sovereign Lord cometh. He's coming, our sovereign Lord. My grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Looking, now back over, looking, Maranatha, that was the word, our Lord cometh. Our Lord is coming. Maranatha. Wow. And that bothered. That would bother the world. That he's coming. God is coming. I don't believe that. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe, God, that you mean what you say and say what you mean. And it certainly is clear. It certainly is clear. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Picking up, if I can, in, the Apostle Paul, ready to die, you know, he's going to die, 4 and verse 6, and now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, all the way down the corridor I've gone. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them, unto all them also that love his appearing. They are loving his appearing. And the word love is in the perfect. They love and they continue to love. It doesn't start and stop, start and stop. I love his appearing straight, morning, noon, night. I'm waiting for his appearing. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. I'm not looking for a job. I'm not looking for this. I'm looking for the appearing. And you know, if you have this, the hope purifies you and gives you a way to handle the most serious, difficult thing in your life. Because at any moment, you're gone. And that hope helps you to handle Christ in you, the hope of glory, to be able to handle it all. Wow. Thus, in closing, Titus, if you would. Titus chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 13. You know it. Looking, the word looking means awaiting, waiting. We're looking, present tense, you yourself are looking, middle voice, you are looking, you are awaiting. What are you looking and waiting for? That blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, prized, special people, zealous of good works, looking to God. Here we are, looking, a blessed hope. Maranatha, our sovereign Lord cometh. And now the world says, no, no one wants to believe that. No one. Back then, and still today, the church doesn't even believe it. The church doesn't. Most of the churches, they don't believe it. Oh, it's just a little theological thing. And then that's only for dispensationalists. You see? If you're a covenant or reformed or whatever, you don't believe that at all. No tribulation, no millennium, no rapture. You see? In the sense of where it is in biblically located. Wow. Here we are. It's an awesome time. We'll have a word of prayer, and God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very much that as we have received Christ Jesus, as we have done that which you have asked and commanded, God, we're looking to you. We're bought with a price. We belong to you. You are waiting, God, to present us faultless at your coming. You are waiting to present us, your bride, your believers, to be presented pure, blameless, in a wonderful, wonderful relationship to you, God. Make it happen. Encourage each heart. Stimulate us, God. Not with any subjectness, but objectively, God, looking at you and our world and our own heart and thanking you for what you've done in saving us to the uttermost, in giving us the prized, privileged position of belonging to you in a most special, special way, even beyond Israel and all of it, God, to belong to you as your body. You are head. Even so, come. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn 204, I think. 204.